Blog Talk Radio.
Wake us up this morning. He didn't have to start us on our way. He didn't have to give us a brand new day, but he did. And all we can say is thank you and hallelujah. Praise the Lord, family. Praise the Lord this morning. Tell God thank you. Thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Ooh, as y'all know, I'm going to say it, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be a child of God and to know that he loves me and I love him, but he is the best dad a girl could ever have. Hallelujah. And I just got to say good morning to our absolute awesome co-host. Good morning.
Good morning,
Mother Valerie. How are you this
morning? Oh, it's a
beautiful day. It's a little bit cloudy today, isn't it? Huh?
Yeah, it looks like rain, but I don't think it's going to rain. It's just overcast, but it's beautiful.
It's an overcast, but it's still a gorgeous day, because why? It's a new day, and God made it, and I'm grateful to be in it. Hallelujah.
That's giving us a second chance to get it right.
Amen. 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 This is a very special day for me. 2012, 11 years ago, I got baptized on today.
What?
It's my new birthday. That's what I call it. It's my new birthday, because it was my husband's birthday. He would have been 69 years old today, but God called him home. So he has a new birthday. So I took this one over. So this is my birthday. And I am 11 years old. Hallelujah.
Happy birthday.
God. Hey.
Happy birthday to you.
It just took me a little bit longer to get here than many, you know. But I am so happy when I see our children accept Christ for baptism. Because where I grew up, I was 9, but we didn't get submerged. We were sprinkled. And before God would allow me to accept the calling of minister and to get my license, I had to be baptized.
Amen.
And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. My children told me, they say, Mom, you are glowing. You were just glowing, and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit just as I feel it today. So I just want to say thank you, Lord. thanking God again for baptism, thanking Pastor Jesse and Table of Life for this journey that I have been on, getting better in ministry, getting better and closer with God. So I'm just thankful this morning, Mother, just thankful. And I just wanted to say thank you, Lord. Woo! Gracious God, thank you for another day. Thank you for a birthday in Christ. So let's get started, family. Mother Valerie, pray us in this morning.
Father God, this is a beautiful day. This is a great day. We just thank and praise you for who you are. We're thankful that you are God, your Abba, your Father. Oh, God, bless us as we read your word. Let it minister to the people that hear your word. And, God, we are thankful for your word. You left your word for us, and we're thankful that you will guide us in truth and in everything that we do. Thank you, God, for forgiveness of all sin, knowingly and unknowingly. Bless our pastors, all our pastors, and bless Table Life Ministries. And, God, just bless your people, for this is the day. Oh, you made this day. This is a beautiful day. We shall rejoice. Be glad in it. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything
amen.
That has breath.
Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and of the praise. Hallelujah. I can't say it enough, but hallelujah. Thanking God this morning. Thanking God this morning for just being who he is, so awesome and so great and so wonderful. Woo, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just like
he
to
is.
Always
if
ask
if we
God,
don't say thankful to God, then the rocks will cry out. They
woo,
will praise God.
I am not letting no
so
rock cry out for me, Mother.
For
hallelujah.
Me. I don't want a rock crying out for me. I got to praise him.
Come on now.
Praise
I'm going to praise
Lord.
Him. Yes, Lord. Thank
amen.
You. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Great.
Y'all. Just getting filled up this morning.
Mother
about to make me start running up in here.
Hallelujah.
Woo, thank you. Praise ye the Lord.
Rock,
we got to get excited. Mother, I like
to say, thank
like
you, Lord.
Say, I got to get giddy for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Mm. So let's get started in our word today. I will be coming out of Isaiah chapter 15 and 16. And I will be in the Psalm 106, verses 24 to 31. And Mother will be coming back with Proverbs chapter 25, verses 8 to 10, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I believe you have some commentary today also, Mother. So Mother also will be with us with some life examples and life lessons. So Mother, Minister Valerie will be with us in the New Testament, and I'm going to take us through the Old in the book of Isaiah. So please get your Bibles because this is Bible study. You know, first and foremost, this is Bible study. And we do open our lines, if time permits, at the end of the lesson for those that may have a word that God has given them. My Bible out. I got both my Bibles out. So I am ready. So as the word of God says in chapter 15 of the book of Isaiah, the burden against Moab, because in the night awe of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. Because in the night cur of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. He has gone up to the temple and the bond, to the high places to weep. Moab will wail over Nebo and over Medeba. On all their heads will be baldness and every beard cut off. In their streets they will clothe themselves with sackcloth. on the tops of the houses, and in everyone will wail, weeping bitterly. Heshbon and Elihah will cry out. Their voice shall be heard as far as Gehet. Therefore, the armed soldiers of Moab will cry out. His life will be burdensome to him. My heart will cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar like a three-year-old heifer. For by the accent of Luhite, they will go up with weeping. But in the way of Horaim, they will rise up a cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim will be desolate. But the green grass has withered away. The grass fails. There is nothing green. Therefore, the abundance they have gained and what they have laid up, they will carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry has gone out around the borders of Moab. It's wailing to Eglon, and it's wailing to Beer Elim. For the waters of Zimon will be full of blood, because I will bring more upon Zimon, lions upon him who escaped from Moab, and on the remnant of the land. Wow. And this is a prophecy against Moab. And this is what my study Bible says about chapter 15. And it says, why did God so utterly destroy Moab? By the time Israelite invasion of Canaan, the Moabites were so powerful that the Israelites avoided all conflict with them. David conquered the Moabites, but later they regained their independence. Moabite raiders invaded Israel frequently after that. After that, the Moabites sacrificed their children. Oh, my God. I got to go back to this. David conquered the Moabites in 2 Samuel 8 and 2. But later they regained their independence. Moabite raiders invaded Israel frequently after that. 2 Kings 13 and 20. The Moabites sacrificed their children to idols. Amos, a contemporary of Isaiah, denounced them for their barbarism in Amos 2 chapter verses 1 through 3. Can you imagine the Moabites were sacrificing their children? That is what angered Israel. That is why God came down so hard on them. It's because of what they were doing. Idol worship and child sacrifice. It says, why did Isaiah feel so bad about Moab's plight? Several reasons may have softened Isaiah's heart to Moab's pain. Israel and Moab shared the same ancestral father, Terah, in Genesis 11:27, Genesis 19:37, and Deuteronomy 2:9. And King David's great-grandmother, Ruth, had come from Moab, 1 Samuel 22:3-4. Furthermore, unlike Edom, the Bible never mentions Moab rejoicing over Israel's misfortune. It was the sacrifice of children. God was not pleased with Moab. Now, understand all this stuff, this prophecy, is happening after Ruth, after David. It's later on. We're several hundred years, probably. And this is what it says. What do ancient oracles have to do with us today? Isaiah's oracles teach several important truths, still relevant centuries later. First, God rules over all nations. He's not a local deity or a terrestrial god. Despite appearances at times to the contrary, God has his hand in the intricate details of our lives as well as the broad stroke of human history. His message of hope is for people of all nations and ethnic backgrounds. Second, God moves by prophetic words, which is sharp and powerful. Through obedience to God's word, we can promote God's will in our life and bring justice to our neighborhood. Third, God has the last word. Can I say it again? God has the last word. The pretense and rebellion of modern society will burst like a soap bubble. Those who ignore God's word will be judged, and the evil will have its day in court. Say it again. All evil will have his day in court. Finally, those who have trusted Christ, living in obedience to his word, are not under judgment. If we personally and intimately know the one who gives prophetic words, and if we live by his mercy, we can rest securely in his unfailing love. Woo, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 16 of Isaiah. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the executioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In mercy, the throne will be established, and one will sit on it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore, Moab shall wail for Moab. Everyone shall wail. For the foundations of her horror set, you shall mourn. Surely they are stricken. But the fields of Hesbon and Hesbon language, and the vine of Zema, the lords of the nations have broken down its choice plants, which have reached the desert and wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. Therefore, I will bewail the vine of Seba with the weeping of desire. I will drench you with my tears, O Hesbon and Hades. For battle cries have fallen over your summer fruit and your harvest. Gladness is taken away and joy from the plentiful field. In the vineyards, there will be no singing, nor will there be shouting, no wine in the presses. I have made their shouting cease. Therefore my heart shall resound like a harp for Moab, and my inner being for Kerez. And it shall come to pass, when it seems that Moab is weary on the high place, that he will come to a sanctuary to pray, but he will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of hired men, the glory of Moab will be despised with all that great multitude, and the remnant will be very small and feeble. And when we go to chapter 16, it says, why a Moabite under God's judgment? Moab fugitives wanted to escape judgment by submitting to the Lord's rule, called to be a light to to the nations. In this case, Israel fulfilled its role as an agent of God's mercy. Like Israel, Moab, in contrast to Babylon, Assyria, and the Philistines, had a remnant, a small group of faithful believers. How could Moabites belong to Israel's Messiah? Moab, having come to Zion and suffered injustices at the hands of a tyrannical oppressor, would find justice through Israel's Messiah. This passage promises that Messiah will bring salvation to all the earth. Can I say it again? The Messiah will bring salvation to all the earth, including the fugitives from Moab. In fact, the hope of the world lies in Israel's God. Why did Moab have to boast about? This insignificant nation was only a whimper compared to the roaring of other nations such as Assyria. Moab's pride was based, not reality, inflated opinions of oneself, particularly when set alongside shriveled resources and abilities, demonstrate how ridiculous human boasting is. We see it every day. Can't turn on the television without seeing it. And it says, how was Moab trampled down? The Assyrian king, Sargon II, put down a rebellion along its western border state and probably quenched Moab in the process. We know Assyria was big and bold. They thought they was all that. You know, came up against God's people and found out a whole different thing. How did Moab wear herself out at the high place? Isaiah was foretelling the efforts of the Moabites to draw their inevitable judgment. To ward off destruction, the Moabites offered frenzied prayers and sacrifices to entice the gods to protect them from their enemies. The effort was wearing them out. Remember, how Isaiah don't play. Let's just put it that way. You know, we'll get to some more stuff we remember from King where, you know, he's like, no, I don't have time for foolishness. He did not foolish folks and foolishness. Isaiah was a prophet after God's own heart, and he didn't play. You know, Ezekiel didn't play. Elijah didn't play. Elisha didn't play. Jeremiah didn't play. Amos, Nathan, all of these prophets, they were tough. They had to be. They didn't have time for foolishness. And we need to understand when we get the prophetic word from Isaiah, from Elisha, from Ezekiel, from Elijah, we need to take it and listen. But Isaiah is the one we really need to understand. I always say this is almost the revelation of the Old Testament revelation, because Isaiah told it like it was. And he did not mince words. He told you, you're going to get destroyed, you got destroyed. He told you, you're living wrong, you was living wrong. Whatever he said was the gospel truth, because he was a man of God's heart as well. And as we go into our psalm this morning, 106 psalm. And when we go into this psalm, it's a continuation of yesterday's words. Let's get it in my study Bible. You got to have more than one Bible, family. That's one thing that, you know, I have several. But this one is, you know, it's a great Bible for study, and it's a NIV version. But I'm coming out of King James in our Bible that we are using for this year, and it is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, and I come out of New King James. And I tell you, this Bible is a great Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. And we have, this is our weapon of choice, is the Word of God. And we need to use it and utilize it every day, because it is how we fight that slimy, sneaky snake. To cut off his slimy head, we use the Word of God. We follow the example of Christ, because Jesus didn't play with him either. Hallelujah. And we can't either. We can't get caught up. We got to get caught up. Hallelujah. It says, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his words, but complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised his hand in an ark against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the land. They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped, and that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. They was doing some stuff, pagan women, and that's how they got them, through women. You know, they trying to do right, and they send the women in to mess them up. We got to understand the enemy uses everything he can think of in his little arsenal to knock us off our square. It's like he thinks he's bowling and that he can just pick up his ball and knock us out. But he don't understand we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And our daddy God's got us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. And our daddy don't play. Our daddy does not play. He loves us like that. And as we go into this, the study of this 106th Psalm, and it says this, what kind of prosperity do God's chosen enjoy? This is from yesterday. God promises to prosper those who follow his laws and obey his commands. His laws lead to health, righteousness, selfless living, inner joy, and God's protection and provision. Prosperity, by God's definition, is not physical wealth and success squandered on selfish interests. Let it preach. Why recount past failures? We're talking what we just read today. The old maximum, those who forget history are bound to repeat it. I speak that all the time on this blog. And it says, was just as true then as it is now. God recounts their failures to remind the Israelites that they are a people who are naturally inclined to sin. God continued dealing with his people even though they continued to cycle the cycle of sinning, repenting, trusting, growing, complacent, and then sinning again. The goal was for them and succeeding generations to learn from their past failures. And it may take us several times to learn from our past failures, but God wants us to learn. And it says this in verse 20. And it says, the Bible reports several incidents where God changed the course of his stated action in response to the prayers and often the repentance of godly people. It is no threat to God's sovereignty that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, James 5:16. Also, and it says this, let me go down a little bit. The Moabite deity worship on Mount Peor with immoral rites, including prostitution. They was just nasty. I'm sorry. The Moabites was just nasty in their worship, nasty in what they did, children, you know, immoral morality, sex, just nasty. And it goes on to say, how did Phinehas intervene to halt the punishment? Phinehas, a priest and the grandson of Aaron, obeyed the Lord's command to put to death those who were worshiping Baal through immoral sexual rites. He ran a spear through an Israelite man and a Moabite woman engaged in sexual intercourse. For his action, the Lord halted a plague he had sent to Israel. And that's in the book of Numbers, if you would like to go back and look at it yourself. And what he did, and I think her name was Kizzy. She was a Moabite priest's daughter, and she was brought into the Israelite camp, bold. I mean bold. And who she was with, he's going to look at everybody like, yeah, I got it, and I got it going on. Then they're going to go in and have sex, you know, to get y'all. immoral and nasty. And what Phineas did, took that spear and stuck it through both of them. Went through him into her, into the ground. And that's how the plague stopped. To stop that mess, just messy and nasty, in the presence of God's people. It says, yet when it is the outgrowth of faith by daring to act on God's word, Phineas showed that he had faith in God's word. But if his righteous act had been offered in an attempt to earn salvation, they would have been the outgrowth of a lack of faith. Those who depend on their own good efforts will not have righteousness credited to their account. The Apostle Paul says that in faith, not good works, that is credited as righteousness. Romans 4:5. He uses Abraham as an example. Abraham did not earn credit with God by doing righteous works. Instead, Abraham simply trusted God. Abraham believed God. It was his faith that was credited to his account as righteousness. We can also have righteousness credited to our account when we trust God and believe in Jesus Christ. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he has your best interest at heart? Keep God first in whatever it is you're doing and watch him work in your life. But never forget that we need to know our history. History unknown is history repeated. We got to, don't let folks tell you and change history. History is history. And as far as this book that we live our life with, it is his story. His story, that we need to know it. We need to taste and see that it is good. We got to study this word, meditate on it day and night, because it will save your life. As I turn it over to you, Mother. This has been a great word. Thank you.
I'm reading Proverbs
25, verses 8
and 10. It said, do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor. I remember that me and my neighbor was going to court. This happened in Los Angeles, California. And while we were outside of the courtroom, we resolved the case between the two of us. And then when we went into the courtroom, we told the judge that we had, you know, dissolved the case between the two of us, and he said, case dismissed. So it said, debate your case with your neighbor, and that's what I did. And do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame, your reputation be ruined. Wow. 2 Corinthians 4:1-18. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commands light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Well, they cannot destroy the people of God. It said we're persecuted, we're in despair, but we're not struck down. always caring about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So when death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. If you believe something, then you ought to speak up. Don't just be silent. Don't just keep your mouth shut. Like when they took the prayer out of school, and we believe that it shouldn't have been like that, but people didn't speak up to keep prayer in school. They just let the unbelievers take prayer out of school. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God, knowing that he who raised up Jesus will also raise us up. I mean, that's going to be a glorious day. The catching away of the church, caught up to meet in the midair. I say it just about every other day. We're going to be called up. Rita, Jan, look forward to being called up. One day, everybody. And I feel sorry for the ones that are left behind. But this gospel is being preached to all people that will accept it. You have to accept what he said. And you know what? You just have to believe it. And if you believe it, you won't be left behind. Atheists think that this is a fairy tale. But it's not a fairy tale. And I believe, personally, the reason we have atheist people is because they don't want to do God's will. They know deep in their heart, like when something is going on, and they can't help themselves, even an atheist will say, Lord, help me. And in that time, God will help them just to show them that he's God. Is there anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. And he'll show them that he's real. And then a lot of times they'll go back doing the same things that they were doing. But for that 1 minute, they asked God to help, and God did help. It said, he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is before a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternally weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporarily, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are eternal. That's good. I mean, God is just good. And he's telling you over and over and over in so many ways that God is just real. Life examples. Paul, strength and weakness. As a young man, Paul trained upon one of the greatest Jewish scholars of his time. He understood the elements of the law, practiced them with great zeal. Yet when he came face to face with Jesus Christ, his life changed forever. He no longer viewed the world through merely human eyes. God gave him spiritual insight that far suppressed anything he had known. Still, he had to be broken farther so that he could be used in an even greater way. God allowed Paul to be buffered by a severe trial to humble him, to remove the potential for pride. Through this time of weakness, Paul learned a new and unexpected principle. Weakness is strength. A lot of times when people do things to you, and they think because you don't say anything back to them that you take it, that person is just a weakling. but it's not being weak. You don't say anything because you've been strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Or you could curse that person out and say a bunch of nasty things and then ask God, Lord, forgive me for what I did knowingly. And that's what we pray, Lord, forgive us for what we do knowingly. But when you keep your mouth shut, keep your mouth shut. Be quiet. Be still. Know that I am God. I'm working in you. Man, I mean, you make your day so much beautiful that road rage, you didn't go off on that person. You didn't curse. You didn't do anything wrong. Weakness is strength. It really is. Because you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. They may call you weak, but it's not being weak. It's really being strong when a person can keep their mouth shut. Sometimes it seems like that's hard to do. It tries sometimes. You'll feel better if you didn't go off on the person. You were still, and you let God work in you. When God humbles us before him, he sees the meekness of our heart and sends the strength and blessing to our lives. Futility is a certain error should never bring embarrassment. You shouldn't be embarrassed just because you kept your mouth shut. Life lesson, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. We have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We desire to be strong as possible, and there is nothing wrong or unusual about that, but God often allows us to remain weak, at least in some areas, so that all can see. He accomplishes the work. He's doing the work, not us, and that's true. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our light affliction, what is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. Oh, my God. He said the things we're going through, they're just light affliction. And you think about Job, what Job went through. His wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? Just curse him and die. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:17, they are light afflictions. God don't put on you no more than you can bear. I mean, sometimes we think, oh, my God, I'll be glad when this is over. I'm going through so much. But the Bible says he don't put no more on you than you can bear, and he always leaves a way out. But we want the way out. We don't want to bear. We want to get out of this. I know my sister Janice, I know she's going through a lot, and she's looking forward to the day that she dies. She really wants to, you know, go ahead on, be with the Lord. She said it's a win-win situation, that if you die, you're going to win. And she said if you get healed here on the earth in this body, then it's a win-win situation. But she prefers to go ahead on and die. He said our light affliction, which is before moon, is working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. God would never be a debtor to anyone. That means that any sacrifice we make or hardship we endure for his sake, by his spirit, he will amply reward out of all proportions to what we suffer. Isn't that amazing? You're going to get rewarded, whether you see it in healing or whether you see it by going home to be with the Lord. It's a win-win situation either way it goes, whether you go home to be with the Lord or whether you stay here and be healed. God is just a good God, no matter what. You know, a lot of times we look at the different problems that we're going through and we say, why, God? Why? We can't see the big picture. We don't know that he's working still for our good. That song called What If, I love that song, and I love the movie What If. What if God, it said God can, if he wants to, make us smile and take these problems away from us right now. in the blinking of an eye. It could be gone. But what if he don't? What if he don't? Are you going to continue to serve God, or are you going to curse God, or are you going to continue to serve God? What if? What if he don't take your problems away? What if he allow you to go through something? Like Paul, there are light afflictions. They say God don't put no more on you than you can bear. I wonder sometimes do we believe that when we're going through stuff? When people are persecuting you, when your body is aching, when you're in pain, when you have a car accident, when people are doing things to you that, hey, you know you don't deserve this on the job, when you don't get the raise, don't get the money that you need. You know, sometimes life don't seem to be a picnic. But he said this too. I mean, you know, it's a light affliction. And you know what? I tell Carolyn all the time, Chase too, when you go through things, and I know you go through things, all of us go through things, but you can make a quality choice of your own. You can choose to be miserable, or you can make a choice. I choose to be happy. I have a, what they call, my sister said all the time, even when I was a girl coming up, I have a Pollyanna spirit. I see the good in people. I have a Pollyanna spirit. And I'm always saying, I play the song all the time, this too shall pass. It cannot last. This too shall pass. Yeah. Get over it. You know, and look at people. Sometimes people do things to you. You don't know why they're mistreating you. Get over it, because this too shall pass by James Cleveland. Play that song. This too shall pass. It's going to pass. Amen, it did not come to stay. It didn't come to stay. It's a test that you're going through, and it's going to come again and again until you pass that test. This too shall pass. Get over it.
This too shall pass.
I choose to be happy. I choose to have a Pollyanna spirit. Janice, she never seen nobody when they were young, you know, I guess maybe 16, maybe 10, maybe, you know, young. I enjoy my own company. I look at children now. Can you actually play by yourself, or do you have to have somebody to be in the room to play with you? Enjoy your own self with the Lord.
Amen.
Have a Pollyanna spirit. That
Amen.
I'm okay.
That's
that beautifully and wonderfully made. He said that.
Oh, man. That is so true, Mother. We are all children of the Most High God. And I was looking at our title for this morning for those that are listening. With God, I'm made strong in my weakness. With God. With God, we can
only
do all things but fail. With God. You know, as Mother was saying, you know, folks think you weak because you are not a retaliator. I'm going to get you. You know, I'm getting my pipe and I'm going to tear you up. You know, we can't always have that spirit. We can't go knocking folks down because they got in our way. I remember working retail, Mother, when the Cabbage Patch Kid craze going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, the only place I wanted to avoid having to work was the toy department, because it was vicious. I had never seen anything like it. I watched a woman pull a Cabbage Patch doll out of a child's arms. The kid had the doll on her way to the register, and this woman grabbed it out of her arms. And it was about to be a fight on between that woman and this child's father. And he was like, oh, no. And he pulled it right back out of her arm and said, no, you saw this in my child's arm, and no, you can't have it. This is my daughter.
Ooh.
And it was getting ready to get vicious up in there, because she thought that she was privileged that she's going to take it out of a child's arm right in front of her father. Come on now. And I thought, well, God had her daddy there, because Her mama might not have been strong enough to go up against this woman, but dad wasn't playing. And that lady walked off because she could see that this little girl's father was not going to feel sorry for her, that he had got that doll. He got there early. I remember this man was in line, like first one, him and his little girl, in line because he had to get in line because they knew that when the doors opened, it was going to be wild and crazy. And he got there early to make sure his little girl got that doll, got her Cabbage Patch. And this woman go try to take it out of her arms because she didn't get there early. You know, our pastor say you need to be on time because the early bird does get the worm. Or in that case, mother, the early bird got the Cabbage Patch. You know,
my
we
Lord.
Have to be so very careful. But that man could have easily, you know, let that woman take from his child. When his baby started to cry, he's like, oh, no, uh-uh. And he took it right back. And then she goes,
well,
try
I don't
tell herself, well, we all watching. We watched her take this. And then she's going to try to tell the security that it was hers. And all of us clerks who had seen what happened said, no, sir, that she did not have it. And he politely asked her to leave the store. She was hot. But you know what? She was wrong.
She was wrong.
And that man looked at all of us and said, thank you, because it was just wrong. You know, folks would, I watch people do some scandalous stuff trying to get them dolls. And you think, they're some ugly little things. But they were the it toy for that year, the it toy, Cabbage Patch. Folks would knock each other down to get them doggone dolls. And I thought, how crazy. But then again, we don't know what people's mentality are when it comes to things. You know, we got to be very careful that we don't allow stuff to blind us. As you know, as Mother was reading what 2 Corinthians verse 4 says, whose mind that God
the God of the age has blinded. We could spare ourselves
that,
a
Mother.
Lot of anxiety in our efforts as evangelists if we would remember that witnessing to others about Christ means serious spiritual warfare. Satan actively opposes our efforts. And he do. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. And, you know, on the Cabbage Patch Doll, the people stood out all night long. They sat at the door until the doors opened.
Sure did.
You've never seen the world in an uproar over an ugly doll that they would set out all night long until the doors open to get that doll. Now, these people are crazy. A Cabbage Patch ugly looking doll. The minds
Mother,
of God of this age has blinded.
Has blinded. Mother, think about this. I was in Kentucky one year of Thanksgiving. And folks, it was snowing. And you know, down there, it don't snow very much. But there were people parked in the parking lot because Best Buy was going to have a big sale. And you know, they have TVs and all kind of stuff. There were people in the snow waiting on Thanksgiving night to get into the Best Buy store. There was somebody that had put a tent up and had put a chair in front of the door. And I guess they was taking turns. One would sleep for a little while, and the other would sit in the tent at the door. I'm in my car looking at this, and I'm saying to my sister-in-law and my niece, and I said, can you believe this? We just driving around. Can you believe this? A tent and a chair so nobody can take their place in line. I thought this is some crazy stuff. Nothing is that serious. Because all the stuff we have, Mother, you cannot take it with us. It can't go with you. All the clothes you got, all the stuff in your house, all them TVs, all the that everything you got, you cannot take it with you. It won't go. Can't take it. Can't take it. And these folks in line in the snow to get into Best Buy. Like, I was undone. I went to my mama's house, and I went to bed. to go shop it. I'm good. It's like, this is nuts. You know, when I looked at that, I thought, if there is nothing in Best Buy that I want that I'm going to get knocked down for. Because it just, I mean, the line was growing. I was like, oh, my. And my sister-in-law, she was like, well, and she looked at me, I looked at her, and I think we both decided it is not worth it. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need anything in that store. I think we turned around and went back to our pretty. She dropped me off, and I went to my mama's, and she went to her mother-in-law's house, and we left it alone. It was done. Because my husband was going to be having a moment, me staying out trying to get in the Best Buy. Because everything I had for my kids, I had already got it because I buy it all through the year. Because that way you're not at Thanksgiving time looking around, running around like crazy people. But anyway, before we get out of here, Mother, let's get a word from your niece, my sister in Christ, to Carolyn. And our word for today, hallelujah, is good morning. Things have a way of working out. Come on now. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love more than anything. Never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Woo, can you say it? Have a triumphant Tuesday night.
Amen.
I got to read it again, Mom. I got to read it again. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith,
amen,
and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday. What is our word for today? Hallelujah. With God, I'm made strong in my weakness. God will see us through whatever it is we're going through. We have a couple of minutes. If there's anybody that has a word that they would like to speak, now is the time to push that one on your phone at 213-943-3597.
Good morning.
Good morning, Evangelist. How are you this morning?
I'm truly blessed and highly favored by God. I just wanted to say, never underestimate the, help me, Holy Ghost. Never underestimate the favor of God.
Amen.
Because God's favor is true and is for life, and that is in the power of God. Because my grandson has moved here from Springfield, Illinois, and I just have faith in God that God was going to bless him with the favor of God, with the saints of God. And true enough, they all was blessing him in a way that he's seeking for employment, but they was offering him employment. And so God is good. His power is true. It is true. Always walk by faith and not by sight, because the mm-hmm. power of God is true. The enemy will make it look like his power is right, but he don't have the power that we think he has, because he just uses others to make it seem like he has power. But the power of God is powerful, almighty, and true. So trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge thee, and these shall direct thy path. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name.
Amen. And
Amen.
As we pray out this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee. while we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. We pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap. I have plans with my granddaughter today at her school. I am going to have grandparents' morning with my grandbaby. So thank you all. Have a great day, family. Keep God first in everything that you do and watch it work for you. Because remember, with God, we are made strong in our weakness.
Amen.
Have a great day. It is.
Happy birthday, Pastor Bridget. Happy birthday, Pastor Bridget.
Yay!
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you and many more. Yay!
Amen. I'm all smiles. I'm feeling good. It's my spiritual birthday. Have a great day, family. Be blessed.
It's a wrap.
Hold on. We got one more call coming in. So if you don't hang up, you can stay in. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. Happy birthday. Great word. I love you all. Blessings.
We love you too.
Thank you, Pastor Jessica.
Have a great day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.